hey, are you trying to recover and maybe even fall pregnant naturally? I thought that might be you. And if so, we have created our best ever yet resource for you. Totally free. This is a masterclass. I've called it my masterclass because I have put everything into this, right? This masterclass is designed for you if you have HA or have had HA and are dealing with suboptimal cycles and you're serious about restoring those babies to full optimization and you want to create the ideal foundation for a pregnancy. This is going to be for you. So in this masterclass, I'm going to provide you a lot of things, including a lot of case studies, mine, Ashley's and Mishi's, as well as lots of our past clients and what their challenges were and what they had to do to overcome it. And we cover a really wide variety of types of cases of HA. So everything from primary amenorrhea and missing periods for years and years to short-term amenorrhea and what we did to handle that situation as well, and how long it took these people to go from HA to pregnant with this system, and how long it took them to go from HA to ovulating, of course, with this system. So lots of information, lots of case studies, lots of stats. We go through why this is not a weight gain plan and how we actually divide you into phases, the three phases of HA, and determine what your starting point is so that you have a good idea of where you need to start with your actual changes in lifestyle and nutrition changes. We even cover questions like HA and people with a normal BMI and recovery for people who have had HA for too long. There's so much in this 60-minute masterclass. Y'all, I'm impressed. And at the end, I'll also be running you through how to get a free HTMA, hair tissue mineral analysis through us, which is a part of our process for recovery and preconception clients that we're happily going to give you for free $99 as a massive thank you, of course, for joining the masterclass. So go to thehasociety.com/masterclass or head to our website and you'll find a link for it and find when the next available presentation is going to be. That's thehasociety.com/masterclass. Welcome to the Hypothalamic Amenorrhea Podcast. I'm Dani Sharif, your host, certified fertility awareness practitioner, functional nutrition counselor, and founder of the HA Society, and of course, an HA recovery coach who has walked where you currently are walking. This is the place to come if you care about getting your period regularly. This podcast aims to educate, inform, and keep you motivated on your period and HA recovery track. So let's dive in. But last thing, nothing on the show should be taken as medical advice, so please seek the advice of your physician.
Okay. Right. So, guys, nobody can see this. Someone take a picture for the gram.
Oh, all right.
I'm taking a picture for the gram. We're doing a very rare moment in the HA Society where I'm trying out this new makeup. I can't even pronounce it. And Dani knows that I just make up phonic sounds as I go. But y'all, like 80% of the time I'm right. It's like not helpful that I'm right that many times because then I just don't ever Anyways, long story short, so we were talking about how it must be so hard to make it in the makeup brand. And Dani, you had a few thoughts.
Oh yeah. I would never want to have a makeup product. I mean, honestly, selling a physical product scares me in general.
That's what I was saying.
I cannot imagine. Imagine trying to start a makeup business. There's probably someone listening who's like doing it right now, but trying to make a skincare cosmetic product, like the saturation, the competition, the marketing. I just couldn't imagine how difficult that would be. I did read Jamie Kern Lima. Is that her name? Her book. It was actually a good book. She's the founder of It Cosmetics.
Oh, I just listened to her on a podcast.
I don't even know what that is. I'm at the Google. Okay.
So her no, I mean, her story is really good. Like the way she was just like you and me, like the average Joe starting a cosmetic company, kind of like the Spanx story. If you ever heard the Spanx story. Oh,
I have seen this, but I think I just watched classic because I figured
And just like the ups and downs, the highs and lows, like, fair. But even still like her, it was like the 1% chance. Do you know what I mean? It just was, it's crazy.
So wild. Yeah. Overhead scares me. Like I'm just like I like my insides instantly turn. Mm-hmm. But then Mishi was telling us that Rihanna has a makeup line.
Oh yeah. I forget how we got on that topic about, maybe it was just because we were saying how success, like it may not be as saturated as we thought. That was my thought when I brought up Rihanna, because the fact that she has the most successful makeup line, and I thought it was Kylie.
It's definitely saturated, because you have to think about, like, I mean, first of all, how many products there are out there, and so the only way to rise,
have you
to
been
the top
to Ulta,
is to already be famous and have that capital, right? So like there's, I mean, she probably has investors behind it, but you know, she's the selling point.
I guess my logic behind it was the fact that, like, I haven't heard of Rihanna in so long, and the fact that she's like has a very successful makeup line that's more successful than Kylie.
I think at one point she was the highest grossing female artist ever, until probably Taylor Swift.
Dang.
Yeah, T-Swift has kind of taken the nation. I'm not a Swiftie, so I can't exactly
relate. I'm not either. And I tried, actually. I tried to be, because I was like,
I mean, I'm not anti.
I was like, these girls are so stoked on Taylor Swift. It must be good. Like, it must be. Like, I need to know, because I want to be passionate about. If you're having such a good time, you're so, like, I want to have that much fun about this person. And so I tried, and I was like, I'm going to just put her albums on. I'm just going to put it on shuffle on Apple Music on a road trip. And I just couldn't get behind it. I just couldn't. It wasn't speaking to me.
I think it's like the little Easter eggs that she has in all of her songs that her fans know about. I'm not a Swiftie, and I don't know what those things are. But
talk about buy-in. I've only heard of, like, Rihanna recently, and the fact that, like, she's just like loving her prego belly, and she's just like, here am I am pregnant.
Like, oh yeah, she's great.
Yeah, so I mean, yeah. But I did not know that she had a makeup line.
Yeah,
I mean, they all dabble in something different. Oh, do you know
absolutely.
What I mean? Like,
they diversify their funds, I'm sure, or their investments. They got someone managing.
But you know what? We're not hating, because not hating. Because they worked their asses off to get where they went. They sat in the suck, right? To get where they're trying to go. Oh,
nice. Way to bring it back on topic.
I'm segue to a topic today. we're talking today about sitting in the suck of recovery, which is pretty much where the vast majority of you guys listening are. That's why you're listening to the show. You're like, please, ladies, help me get through today with some motivating information. we know why you're here. And so we're going to talk about sitting in the suck, which was an idea I think Ashley requested this topic ages ago, like months ago, and we're only just getting around to recording it. But but I think it just came up because we were talking about we're probably in a society community call or something, but just like, it's a really, first of all, right when it's getting tough is where you need to be, right? What were we saying yesterday or on another call? Like, don't leave before the miracle happens.
Yeah. That was from a community member.
Boom. That was from a community member, the wisest of them all. So let's just kind of start here. What does it mean? Like, what does being in the suck of recovery look like? How do we identify that we're there? And what does it mean? And I'd like to hear you guys. Thoughts on that while I go get some coffee.
Well, my initial knee-jerk reaction is when my clients are losing it. so I think it could be like define as an inward psychotic spiral, and you even recognize it. You're like, oh man, like this ship is going down. Like I am mentally circling the drain. The words "I can't do it" come up excessively. But if I think back on my own journey, I think, I mean, my suck lasted for like 5 years. So don't be me. Just saying, guys, don't be me. But towards the right before I recovered, which is, I think, is kind of what like we're talking about, I just remember feeling like I just couldn't grasp reality. Like, meaning that like I couldn't grasp a reality where I was in a bigger body. I couldn't grasp a reality where I had to eat more. Like it was like my brain would try to like have this thought and then like complete shutdown. And I'm sure if like there was a psychiatrist on the phone right now, she'd be like, oh, that's your something trying to protect you, right? So I don't know. That's like what I think of whenever we're like in the suck. I don't know, Mishi, what about you?
Yeah, no, same. I know a client is in the suck when they start to freak out and they're just like, I can't do this anymore. Like, I'm over this. Like, I don't know how I'm going to live in this body for the rest of my life. I can't go out in public. Like,
how dare you condemn me to a bigger body? Yeah. You psycho.
I know when they're just like really starting to squirm and they're just like, literally, like, I can't do this anymore. Or it's just like, and I was there too. I was there for far too long, but I think that's also the beauty of having a coach, somebody who has like been through the process and who can get you through it a little bit quicker and who can also get you through it like more mentally sound and things of that nature. So yeah, I'm kind of like on the same page as you. Like sitting in the suck is just where you're just like, I don't know where the light at the end of the tunnel is. And this is super uncomfortable.
You know, a random sign that I think somebody is in the suck is that they automatically switch to thinking that they have PCOS. Like, it's just like the big, like, I'm struggling.
Yeah. It must be something else. I'm really starting to think this is something else. Is yes, like a,
like this is like a, this has got to be PCOS.
Yeah.
Or like it's got to be my stress levels. And I'm like, it's always your stress levels. It's never not been your stress levels.
Yeah. We're always in agreement of that. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. I've never said it wasn't your stress levels. Right. So I think that that's a sign too, that you're like, it's gotta be something else. I am convincing myself that I now have PCOS, you know, like that's a very common one. Mine was like, I refuse to like, I just refuse to listen to anybody. That's like when I was like deep in the suck too. I was like, nope, nope, nope. It was like I was trying to choose my own reality to like live in. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I think we're all trying to do that.
I think this is probably a great way to identify it. It's like it's right when you're starting to think about taking a different route, going down a different path. And that's a bit different to like making slight changes, right? It's definitely appropriate to be in the suck and be like, well, maybe I should reduce more exercise or something like that, but right. it's not necessarily the right time for everyone. This is very broad strokes, like generally speaking, but not the right time for everybody to start going down the path of a different diagnosis. That's where you need a practitioner at that point. You know what? Yes, if you are in the suck and you're thinking, oh, I think this is something else, well, you're past the point of DIY. So like, what do you want to do? Do you want to keep doing it yourself? Or do you want to get someone to run lab work for you, look at that, review everything you're doing, look at your health history and help you make a more educated decision? Or do you want to just like freak out based on your emotions? Because so much of it is like, I've been doing this for a really long time and no improvements. I've gained 25 pounds, 15 pounds, 35 pounds. How much longer is this going to take? And as well, sometimes it feels like a long time, but if we really math out, like when you really started making the actual changes you were supposed to make, right? So HA recovery for the 99.9% of people did not start the day you found out about HA.
Mm-hmm.
Fair.
Right. But in your head, it did.
Oh, yeah.
The day you found out you had HA, you were like, I've been working at this for, you know, since then. No, you haven't. No, you haven't. You know, you started learning about it. Well, you fought it. You started learning about it. You came around to it. You added the suggestion of more food to your diet. You reduced your running to like a little bit less than what you're usually doing. Like, no, you started recovery the day you started making actual, genuine, meaningful changes. And I've never seen someone math that in immediately.
Oh no. Yeah. No. You know what? Something else that kind of like this is like selective math, and that's okay. I did it too.
Mm-hmm.
So like when I say, oh my gosh, I've been in recovery for 5 years, that's a lie. I wasn't in recovery for 5 years. I was in recovery for I was in quasi recovery / denial for 4 years and 11 months. It was that last month that I actually made significant changes, right? So, like, we cherry pick. So, I see this a lot, too, when they're like, I have gained 25 pounds. I'm like, yes, but you started at 89 pounds. So, that first 20 to get to 100 was just, like, life support. So, that doesn't count. I'm not discrediting your effort. You did it. And you need to – and that is amazing. But that doesn't count towards period recovery. That counts for staying alive.
Mm-hmm.
Your last 20 has brought you up to a quote unquote possible normal. So I am not discounting everything that you just did. But what I'm just saying is that you got off death's doorstep and now you expect to have your period. Mm-hmm. I commend you. But that doesn't count towards period recovery. That counts towards life saving. And we need to recognize that.
Mm-hmm.
Just saying. You're still awesome, but it doesn't count. You know what I mean? And it doesn't count. You're still awesome and it doesn't count. You know, so that's just selective math. It is a sign that we're in the suck because we're like, let me pick and choose what applies.
Hey. Do you know what your blind spots are? As in, do you know what it is, what the thing is that is holding you back from getting your period back? Look, it could be an absolute plethora, cornucopia of things, but in our practice, the first place we tend to go is what behaviors and habits do you have around food that you maybe still doing. And these are called blind spots because we just don't necessarily always know that they're an unhelpful habit or that it's something that we're doing, whether it be a subconscious or conscious need to control our food or our body, or whether it be something that you've just done for so long that it feels normal and like a preference even. We have created a checklist. It's a 3-page checklist that goes through food types, behaviors around food, and mindsets around food. And what you do is you go through the lists and you check off and you see which ones are you doing, whether it be daily, weekly, monthly, quarterly, and how are they potentially affecting your recovery today. So it's a really simple checklist. It's just 3 pages. You go through it. There's a very simple scoring system to help you figure out how much this may be impacting your recovery. And it's just an insightful thing for you to do to help you reflect. And then you can journal about it or you can learn more about it and just start really working at any of the boxes that you checked and understanding that they're playing a role in your recovery. So to get the checklist, all you have to do is go to thehasociety.com/blindspot and we'll send it straight through to you. You can print it off. And you can check on it every now and then. I always recommend a reflection point every like 4 to 6 weeks. How are you going? Are you still checking that behavior off or have you, you know, systematically kicked it to the curb? So check it out. It's thehasociety.com/blindspot and it will be waiting for you there.
I wonder how much of the suck is brought on by ourselves. That was just like something that popped into my head. You know, like, yeah. You, okay, for example, for you, Ashley, you said I was in quasi-recovery for 4 years and 11 months. Like, that yeah. probably sucks. Like,
that did suck.
But, like, wouldn't you agree that if you actually committed to recovery for that, like, 1 month that you did, like, it would have been less sucky?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I would have saved so much money. I wouldn't still have supplements to this day. You know what I mean? Like, absolutely, it's brought on. It's brought on, but like, not like everybody. I mean, maybe there's okay. So, in my situation, it was like 90%. You know what I mean? But also, there are some people who have signed up with other practitioners and haven't made the changes. That's not, you know what I mean? Like, you know, like that sucks definitely. That is a sucky position to be in. They have worked with other practitioners that just didn't even know about HA or to treat it properly. That does suck as well too, right? Yeah. So I would say that part of mine, you know, like that was part of my journey too. But then I also just refused to like gain weight or that it could possibly be my healthy eating, right? So like, I definitely played a role in it, but I don't, just because you're in the suck doesn't mean that we're not saying it's 100% your fault, but but like there's probably a large percentage of like ownership, right? Like radical ownership.
Yeah.
Of your sucky situation.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Oh yeah.
Because think about, I was so determined to chase after these like doctors that were not knowledgeable on HA because I was avoiding the truth of gaining weight, right?
Yeah.
So even though that I, you know, even though I did the right thing and went to doctors, doesn't mean like it doesn't absolve me of any like ownership.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
That makes sense. I also think that like the discomfort is here for you, and the suck is also, there's so much purpose in the suck.
Yeah. Like,
so just because it does suck doesn't mean you're doing something wrong either. Just kind of want to clarify that as well.
Yeah.
Oh, well, no. We want you to be in the suck. We want you to get there eventually. But some people get there immediately. Some people are like, oh, you know, and then other people take a minute. But, you know, we'll always say here, if you're not experiencing discomfort, hardship, challenges, I mean, it's like, it's nice every now and then when someone just like starts eating more and gets their period back, but those people are not listening to this show. like those people were like, oh, eat more, okay, and they went and did it, and and their body responded, and everyone listening here, we're all going to experience the suck or are in the suck, and that's why we're here. And if you are not, if you feel like this is easy, if you feel like you haven't hit challenges yet, then you're not in the suck yet. And you're potentially either just too early on or you're not doing enough. Like you're keeping yourself comfortable. So you're like still letting, you know, I'm going to try and recover, but I'm not going to give up XYZ. I'm not going to give up my body. I'm not going to give up my exercise. So for you, the suck is just wanting your period back without having to make any changes. That doesn't count. You know, that's not the, like, that is a suck, but it's not one that is going to get you anywhere. The real like beneficial suck is when you're actually making changes and efforts, right? Like, and be like let it, basically when you're letting your body do something, you're letting go of the claws on that you have on it. And you're letting it be free, like, you know, like an adult letting their child go off to college, like, let it happen. You've done your best. You've given it what you think it needs, you know, and like, it's time to just like, let it be free. And until you're at that stage and you're doing that, like, that's the beneficial suck. I think, you know, I don't want anyone to get it twisted that like, it's okay to be in the suck if that means you're just not actually changing anything. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Am I waffling on?
No, that was a really good, clear distinction.
Well, I think the suck is also important because if it didn't, you'd go right back to HA. If it didn't like sear my memory or change who I was to some degree, I would have just dipped right back in. I would have been like, oh, well, I'm just going to dip on in and then I'm going to just see how much I can push it and then be shocked when I find myself back here again. You know what I mean? So I just feel like you're not saying that you have to be pain. Like, that's a lie. That's not like, you know, but I do think that there has to be some level of discomfort. Just like if like touching a hot stove didn't hurt, you would continue touching the hot stove and burn all your fingers. Like, you wouldn't have any fingerprints. You'd be like committing crimes because you have no fingerprints. No one can trace you and all these different things. You know what I mean? So it's like, there's a purpose on why it is so life altering. And it's not like we designed it that way. It just happens to be that way. That's why, like, we get the testimonials of like, oh my gosh, my life has been completely changed. I didn't change your life. I just like walked with you through this really sucky season and guided you out, and you were changed by it, you know? So I think that's important.
Yeah.
We can't hear you, Danny. You're on mute.
Far out, man. I reckon I went like 6 months without doing that in an episode. But here we are. Our long-term listeners will be like, oh, well, we were proud of you.
Solid one.
Oh, you guys. Okay. I would say I love that perspective. And I was going to ask, okay, what else would this suck? Like, are there other avenues? Are there other things that people need to know about being in the suck? How do we get out of the suck? What, or do we just sit? Do we just buckle in?
I do think that there's a time where you have to sit in it and allow your body to like heal. I think it's because we have this unrealistic expectation of what healing looks like. It's like rainbows, kittens, butterflies. Like, we envision someone walking through flowers, like breathing deeply, I don't know, getting a massage.
Mm-hmm.
And so when people come to recovery with that expectation, they are like rocked to their core. They're like, oh, whoa, right? So I do think that there's an aspect of sitting in the suck because that's probably what you've been avoiding your entire life, because you've been misfix it, trying to fix everything, fix your body, fix this, whatever, that you've like never allowed yourself to sit in an uncomfortable situation, or you've tried to distract yourself. So I think it has a purpose. It's not a, but the thing that I would say, what is important about it, it's important, it's essential, it serves a purpose, but it's not a forever season. You're not going to be here forever. I mean, you can if you choose not to sit in it and you just like redo the season over and over and over. So that's my.
Yeah. Yeah. It. That's like such a good point. I think it's just like human nature. Our brain is always seeking to avoid discomfort, and like, you just have to, and just by design as well, like, we've developed so many behaviors and things of that nature to avoid discomfort. I think about if you like jump in water, the first thing that you do and it's really cold, you just like, you like try to resist it and avoid it. And like, I feel like everybody is doing that with discomfort. Just, I think you're wired that way. And I think as a society, we've been taught to avoid discomfort, and that it's something that we can't deal with. And this is the time for you to learn that like discomfort is actually here. Life has brought it to you as like an opportunity to like learn about yourself. So instead of seeing discomfort as like something that is negative or bad, something that you need to avoid, like, start looking at it as an opportunity of like, why is this here for me? Like, what lessons do I need to learn in this time? Yeah. And I think just seeing it that way, like, yes, there's such a purpose in discomfort, and to not try to avoid it, make friends with it, get comfortable with the uncomfortable. And kind of like Ashley, how you were saying, like, this is not forever. Like, if you are lucky enough to like live to like, I don't know, like 70, 80 years old, and this is like a year of your life, like, that is like a micro percentage of 70 years. And if you avoided it, I feel like if you live to 70 years, you're just going to like live half of a life, because you're going to be living by some like diet culture, societal standards, like all of these things. And whenever you go through recovery, you go through that discomfort, you let go of all of these things that no longer serve you. And so you get to live so much of like a fuller life versus living half of a life. That's kind of like my take on it.
Mm. Absolutely. That was great. Do you guys have anything else to add? Because I think I love Mishi having the final word.
Yes.
I did not like having the final word.
It never happens. And you guys all need to get used to Mishi.
Yeah.
She's sick.
Yeah. In some definition of that.
Cool. So I hope this was a helpful kind of like short one for all you guys. Where are you at in the suck? Are you actually in the suck, or are you just in avoidance? Or are you actually doing it? Because I think that's a good question. Think about it, marinate on it, chat with us about it. And otherwise, we'll see you guys next week.
Bye.
Bye.
Hey there, it's me, Danny, and I want to tell you about Temp Drop as a fertility awareness method tracking option. So many of you guys know that we actually recommend the fertility awareness method both as you're going through recovery and 100% after you have gotten some cycles back and you're starting to move forward for the rest of your reproductive years. So Temp Drop itself is a wearable fertility monitor, and we love it. It's a wearable device, so you put it around your arm and you can use that instead of taking your temperature manually with a thermometer each morning. So I'm personally a big fan of the manual tracking. All of us at the HA Society are, and that's the method that we use, you know, just using a good old thermometer. We use that with our clients because it's the best way to use it as a diagnostic tool, as a practitioner. And it's also the best way to ensure, if you're trying to avoid pregnancy, that you don't get pregnant. However, manual temping, for many reasons, is just not always an option. When you're in the middle of recovery, again, we do recommend manual temping, but once you're cycling, the Temp Drop is actually a really great hack. So it gives you basically everything you need to effortlessly track your fertility status, like where you are in your monthly cycle. So you wear the Temp Drop sensor while you're sleeping for accurate basal body temperature readings without the stress of early morning wake-ups. So I personally love this because with a toddler, my wake-up times are all over the place, and the occasional sleep disruptions make using an oral thermometer a lot more difficult. So Temp Drop's accompanying charting app enables you to track an array of symptoms alongside your basal body temperature. This includes tracking your cervical mucus if you've been using OPKs, and then it also gives you sleep insights too. So you can combine these fertility signs all in one place, and that will help you identify your fertile window, confirm ovulation, plan for your period, and if you're trying to get pregnant, you know, identify whether or not you are pregnant. So whether you're trying to conceive or avoiding pregnancy, or you want to chart for health reasons, like HA recovery, making sure your cycle is not slipping back in the HA direction, Temp Drop makes fertility awareness accessible to all women, even if you don't have regular cycles or sleeping patterns. So track your ovulation in real time with the Temp Drop, and we are lucky enough to have a 15% off code. So if you go to their website, they're usually having a sale, but you can stack this code on top of the existing code. So just go to tempdrop.thehasociety.com and use the code AFHASociety. I think too, if you just go to tempdrop.com and use AFHASociety at the checkout, that will work too. So happy temping and good luck. This episode is brought to you by Grassland Nutrition Beef Liver Capsules. Did you know that in terms of nutrient density, beef liver actually blows vegetables and fruits out of the water? If you're a client of mine, you have already been instructed to eat beef liver either fresh or in capsule form. I recommend it for anyone and everyone who is, of course, dealing with amenorrhea and fertility challenges out there, but I may even recommend it for just everyone in general. Get your husbands on it. Get your partners on it. If you have a history of HA and add on top of that maybe a history of the pill, maybe you've been pregnant before, you know, through treatments or other, like you've just, your body's been through anything, you know, you're absolutely 100% dealing with a nutrient deficiency of some kind. And while it's true that testing is going to be the best way to understand those exact deficiencies, eating nutrient-dense, real food is going to be one of the most important next steps that you take with or without testing. So I've been using and recommending Grassland Nutrition Beef Liver Capsules for years now. And the capsule form makes it so easy to get your liver in every day. And I appreciate the transparency of this product in particular above others. So in case you're wondering, it's completely natural. This is freeze-dried beef liver in capsules. It's organic, it's made from Australian beef, and my favorite of their products is the liver with kelp because of the iodine from the kelp, which is important for overall thyroid function, which is often low in women with underperforming hormones. So rather than eat seaweed snacks every day, I get to take this beef liver with the kelp for my iodine. So if you're recovering or working on a fertility journey right now, do not skimp the nutrient-rich source of beef liver. Get 10% off your order with the HA Society and support your favorite podcast along the way. They ship to most countries, so you should be covered. Just go to grasslandnutrition.net and use HA Society, just HA Society, at the checkout for the 10% off. That's grasslandnutrition.net. with the code HA Society.
Thank you so much for listening today, guys. Please subscribe to the podcast, and if you could head to iTunes specifically and leave a rating or review, that would help so much because it makes it easier for other people with HA who are Googling around to find the podcast really easily. So if you do that, you're doing a service to all of the women.